Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jumping on with us right now is Zach Jackson. Zach covers the Browns for The Athletic. I'm pretty sure we've had Zach on before, probably before the Browns-Skins game at the end of the year. You can follow Zach on Twitter at Akron Jackson. And the reason for calling you this time, Zach, is Jacoby Brissett. And I'll just start with, what is Washington getting in Jacoby Brissett?
Someone who's hilarious. Someone who's seen a lot in this league. Someone who played better last year than anybody outside his own circle and his own building. Thought he could in some really weird circumstances. You know, I don't know that he was as good as some of his numbers, and I don't know that he will reach his goal of being a starting quarterback for the long term, but he's a sharp dude. He's an experienced dude. You know, the offense was not the problem last year in the Browns' 11 games or in general. And I would just tell you, you know, the team I cover is an absolute train wreck. The team you cover is an absolute train wreck. Like, he's seen a lot. He's been on different teams. He's been on different circumstances. He's been asked to play on no notice. He's been asked to come in and, you know, hold the ship down. And, like, you know, I was looking other places, but I think it makes sense. And I like the signing by the Commanders. I think he would be good enough to keep them in the playoff race.
So do you think, because I had Mary Kay Cabot on my radio show yesterday, she actually just, her default was, well, they signed Jacoby Brissett to be the starter, when in fact they've got Sam Howell on the roster, and there's been a lot of discussion. Actually, they've labeled him as QB1 going into the offseason. What do you think? Did you think when he signed in Washington that he was being signed to be the starter?
Yeah, you know, I'm aware that they labeled Sam Howell QB1. Without knowing a ton about Sam Howell and only have seen the Commanders in Week 17 last year when most people were just there to boo Carson Wentz, right? I would say that if Sam Howell beats out Jacoby Brissett and is better than Jacoby Brissett, then that's good for the Commanders, because I would assume that Jacoby Brissett would be the best man for that job. That's just, like I said, that's totally outside looking in, but just having watched Jacoby and knowing Jacoby's experience level versus where Sam is and where the Commanders want to be and need to be, right, I would assume that Brissett would win the job.
You said he's hilarious. That's the second or third time I've heard that he's got a very quick sense of humor. But just you describe why you said he's hilarious.
Yeah, I think he's very dry. I think he's very aware of his surroundings. You know, he was kind of keeping receipts on all the doubters, which guys are within their rights to do, you know. And like I said, he's not a superhero. And he was not awesome. He had two really awful games, in fact. But when you both grade on the curve of the Browns' circumstances and the Browns' history, and you look at how he moved the ball, you know, how he just never got himself into all of the mess and all of the drama that was going around. And, you know, the number of times he put the Browns in position to win against a couple of really good teams, games that could have gone either way and probably should have gone another way. I think he's, you know, everybody in that organization is rooting for him, and that says a lot, you know. And I think when you look at the whole track record of New England drafts him to be a 3-year down the road development guy, and in week 3 they have to play him on a short week. They trade him the next year to the Colts in awful circumstances, and he plays awful, but he steadies himself. He wins the job the next year. He gets a contract. you know, all the Watson stuff flying around, playing on short notice the year before in Miami. Like, this guy is, no one will say anything other than he's a good person, he's a smart person, he's a good player. And, you know, I think the Commanders are better for having him in the room. And we'll just see how it shakes out the next 6 months.
So why isn't he back? Is it just a matter of Watson's contract? You've got to get the cheapest possible backup?
That's the largest reason, yeah. I mean, he wants to play, too. You know, he wants to play, and obviously the Browns are all in on Watson. So they would have wanted him back, I know that. But they knew, money-wise, they weren't getting there. And they, like I said, they weren't just resigned to the fact that he was going to go get that opportunity. People there wanted him to go get that opportunity. So everyone did the link to Arizona, where the Browns' former quarterback's coach is the new coordinator, and obviously Kyler's not going to be ready for week one over there. You know, the Bucs chose Baker Mayfield. So, I think it's a good fit. And, you know, the fact that it happened 3 days into free agency tells me they prioritized it. They did their homework. And we'll see what happens.
Really good information, Zach. I really do appreciate it. I do want to ask you just real quickly, because the Cleveland game here, as it's been dubbed, which was the game in which they decided to go back to Wentz and they needed to win the game to, you know, potentially lock down a playoff berth. They would have been the 7 seed with a win over Cleveland and then a subsequent win the following week over the Cowboys, which they got anyway. It's weird because Wentz was rattled. He didn't play well. It was a bad decision, clearly. But I'm curious as to, from your standpoint, what you guys thought of Deshaun Watson that day. I thought it was probably the only time in watching him from afar that there was a stretch of the game where he looked like Deshaun Watson. What did you guys think of Watson's game in Washington?
That's right. That's the only good half he played in 6 games. He was terrible. So we know he has a track record of being better. We know he's talented, and we did see a couple of other glimpses of it, right? But there's not one metric that says he was good. There's not one person who watched and says he was good. And so the Browns just have to bank on the circumstances being what, and they signed up for all this, right? It was exactly a year ago today that they did the trade. And, you know, they see he's 27. He's led the league in passing. He obviously can create from outside of the pocket, which he did that day in Washington. And they've made their big bet. So, you know, they're just a bad organization and have been for a long time. Top down, train wreck, constant change. And they probably had no business taking this on, right? Because they, in doing so, they were saying the rest of their roster is good enough and that they were strong enough organizationally to take it on. But when you look around the AFC and you see Mahomes and you see Joe Burrow, I probably would have made a desperation trade too. So I'm certainly not ruling Deshaun Watson out, but your assessment of that being the only good stretch is absolutely the only assessment that anybody could make at this point.
Zach Jackson, he writes for The Athletic. You should subscribe to The Athletic. He is the Ben Standing equivalent, covering the Browns in Cleveland. Really good information on Jacoby Brissett. Really appreciate it, Zach. Thanks. Really,
all right, thank
really
you.
Helpful. That was Zach Jackson from The Athletic. He was on my podcast the other day. You can find my podcast wherever you find a podcast and at thekevinsheehanshow.com. And he joins us courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. BetQL, bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Also want to tell you about BetMGM. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM. Log on today. Get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM rewards. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. DC only. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. When we come back, Lots of NFL news over the weekend, and a thought or two about Sam Howell. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team 980.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
.com.
Backfield now, gonna run a little option. Howe, foot in the ground, nice cut. Howe is in! Touchdown, Washington!
This tweet from Dan, and it's a good one, and it made me think a lot over the weekend. Not much. It made me think a little bit. Anyway, you can tweet me at Kevin Sheehan DC. Kevin, appreciate your work and love how much thought you put into things. Well, thank you, Dan. I appreciate that. But, and there's always a but when people start off with that. I think you're missing an important part of Sam Howell's draft result. It was the COVID draft. The number of players eligible for the 2022 draft was much higher than normal. In a normal draft, he wouldn't have been a fifth rounder. He would have probably been a fourth round pick. Wouldn't you take Kirk Cousins, Kevin? Question mark, question mark. What about Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson? Question mark, question mark. Well, Russell Wilson was actually a third round pick. So let's exclude him from that part. But Dan, that's an excellent, excellent point. And I went back and wanted to make sure that he was right about last year's draft rather than it being this year's draft or the 2021 draft. I knew it wasn't the 2021 draft because the 2021 season was the extra COVID year. But by the way, last year was an extra COVID year for a lot of players as well, as will, by the way, next year. Like, you basically have a COVID year for anybody who was in a program during COVID. You know, they're being allowed a fifth COVID year. And by the way, in some cases, that's an extra year to a redshirt year. But I found this story that Sam Fortier wrote last year before the draft. And he said how COVID makes 2022 one of the deepest NFL drafts ever. And so he goes on to explain how many more players were available, and it made it very difficult for teams because they had to scout so many more players. Excellent point, Dan. Because I did this thing last week where, you know, I had, you know, I remember the guy's name. It was Gary who said the upcoming season should be the season of Sam. And I just, I mean, it just hit me as, no, it's not. He's not a guy that you invested a lot into. These teams only allow for extra time and for developmental time for players that are heavily invested in. Now, it doesn't change that part of the equation, but it does change where he likely would have been drafted in a normal draft. That's a fair point. By the way, he was, right, Denton? Wasn't he the first player in the fifth round selected?
He was certainly at the top.
He was very top of the NFL draft. I should have looked that up. That would have been better preparation. The fifth round was, yeah, the first pick of the fifth round. I thought he was the first pick of the fifth round. It was a, you know, their pick came from Jacksonville via Carolina. Washington's did. So definitely he would have been a fourth round pick. At the very least, in a normal draft, he would have been a fourth round pick. Excellent point. And yeah, when you then look at fourth rounders, it's not one out of 129. And I made the point last week, if you go back this century, okay, 22 years of the NFL draft going back to the year 2000, and you look at all of the players who were selected in the fifth round or later, all of the quarterbacks, excuse me, who were selected in the fifth round or later, there was one who legitimately made it and became a franchise quarterback, and of course that one was Tom Brady. The next best was Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then you got guys like Mark Bulger and, you know, Nathan Peterman, guys who have been in the league but weren't very good. Actually, I thought Bulger was pretty decent, but whatever. I'm not a franchise quarterback. He was the guy, by the way, that Shanahan wanted. He didn't want Donovan McNabb when he got here in 2010. The guy that he wanted and he told Bruce to trade for was Mark Bulger. But Bulger had decided to retire. And because he decided to retire, Bruce thought it would be okay with Dan to go trade for Donovan McNabb, which was the guy that Dan really wanted because he was a big name. And Andy Reid gladly cut the deal with Washington to send McNabb here. Mike was not thrilled about that. That should have been the first sign that this was not a normal organization. But yeah, it was one out of 129. Fourth rounders, much different story. I mean, you know, you mentioned them. I mean, you got Dak Prescott, you got Kirk Cousins just in the last, you know, going back to, you know, over the last 10 years. And so, yes, fair point. Look, I want to make sure I'm clear on this as it relates to Sam Howell. I hope that Sam Howell is the answer. That is the best case for this organization, is that as they're going through off-season activities and they go through training camp, that it's clear that this guy has the talent that they thought he had when they drafted him, that they saw a glimpse of in one football game last year, saw maybe more than one glimpse during practices during the season last year, and that this guy is a guy that they think can do it and can do it at a starter level in the NFL with some real upside. Because, you know, Jacoby Brissett, while I do believe and feel strongly that he is the best quarterback they've had in the building for at least a few years. I mean, I don't want to knock Alex Smith's 2018, you know, first, you know, nine games before the Houston game in which he got injured in. You know, he was a winning quarterback. It was not a very good offensive team or a dynamic passing offensive team. They obviously, you know, had a good situation as a team that was really running the football effectively and playing good defense and had a favorable schedule, you know, during that stretch. But whatever. Jacoby Brissett's a better quarterback than Taylor Heineke. He's a better quarterback than Carson Wentz certainly is, or is now. You know, he's a better quarterback than Kyle Allen, better quarterback than, you know, an injured Alex Smith. You know, so he is But he's not, you know, he's not a top half of the league starter. Could he become Geno Smith in this one season if he were to get the opportunity? I guess it's possible because he can make every throw. He's big. He's strong. And apparently a phenomenal guy, as our guest Zach Jackson just told us. Apparently a great sense of humor. But the best case would be for Sam Howell to be the guy, for to be obvious that he's the guy. By the way, it's important, too, to the rest of the team, the Terry McLaurins, the Jahan Dotsons, the Daron Payne and John Allens, that he be the guy as we progress over the next few months and through the summer leading into the regular season. Because we've already gone through the exercise many times of playing the guy that the rest of the locker room knows isn't the guy. Can't do that in the NFL. Can't do it. You know, even on a developmental thing, nobody wants to be a part of developing a quarterback that they don't see can be developed. But if he can be, and it looks obvious to everybody, then you can get the buy-in. Ron can get the buy-in from, you know, the McLaurins of the world. But Terry McLaurin doesn't want to waste another season catching 73 balls from a guy that doesn't have big upside that's going to help lead them to Super Bowl contention in the next few years. But it would be great, and I'm rooting for Sam Howell to be all that. It's still a long shot, even if we take the COVID year, and this year will be another COVID year in terms of the number of players available for the draft. And it's a great point by Dan, and I appreciate that point. But it's still, if, you know, in a normal year, if Sam Howell had been taken at the top of the fourth round, it's still, the numbers aren't going to be overwhelmingly high. We're still going to be talking about a small, tiny fraction of quarterbacks taken in the fourth round or later, if we did it that way, that have ended up working out. But at least you're getting into a range where we've seen some recently. We'll see. I still think as much of an issue, and I'm overdoing the fifth round and later just to kind of make the point, because the draft status, if he can play, who cares? But the point is that the idea that you're going to spend an entire season and give Sam Howell 17 games is not only naive, it's foolish. Like, you don't give somebody 17 games that you didn't invest heavily into. If you don't, and unless you were absolutely convinced that you hit the inside straight, you found the needle in the haystack, and this guy's about to shock the world, then you do it. And by the way, we'll know if he's playing early in the season. If he, you know, because I'm all for Ty goes to Sam Howell. I mean, I think as long as he shows enough in training camp like this, there's something to this guy. I mean, Brissett would give us a better chance to win the opener or in week two or in week three, but there's something to this guy. I'm foreseeing that in the regular season. And when we see it in the regular season, you know, then, you know, we'll know, they'll know as to whether or not to stick it out, because you'll see some promise, even in, more likely than not, some losses. You know, they're not going to win every game with a guy that's starting for the first, you know, for the first time in the first year. He's not Patrick Mahomes. I think we can all agree on that. But I, you know, my discussion of Sam Howell recently isn't about Howell. It's about the foolishness and the naivete of, this is the season of Sam. Like, the only purpose of 2023 should be to find out if Sam Howell, you know, if drafting Sam Howell was the right thing or not. That's what it should be about. No, that's not what it should be about at all. Not if you don't think he can actually do it. You didn't invest enough to put him into the category of allowing him to really fail. You don't need to see that. You need to see that with a first rounder. I get it. But you don't need to see that with a fifth or in a normal draft, a fourth rounder. But Dan, great tweet, and that is totally spot on. Denton, had you thought about that? I had not thought about that, but it's so true. Normal draft, he would have been in a pool of players that would have been much smaller, and a lot of players that went before him were older, more established players who had a chance to prove themselves in their COVID year, and that's it was just a draft filled with a much higher volume of players available.
No, I had not thought about that, but I will say I don't put nearly as much stock in where he was drafted as you do. If he can play, he can play. That's kind of how I view it.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. I don't care if he's undrafted. Kurt Warner was not drafted. If he can play, he can play. I'm just pointing out, as I have the facts, and that is that most guys drafted in the fifth round or lower can't play. One out of 129 could play. And that the idea that this is, you know, absolutely going to work and you should carve out 17 games to find out if it'll work is absurd. I don't care about his draft status with respect to whether or not he can play or not. I mean, some of Washington's best teams had a significant number of their contributors to championship teams be undrafted players found by Bobby Bethard. I don't care about that part. What I care about is this notion that if he ends up being what most fifth-round quarterbacks and beyond end up being, you don't invest 17 games into it. That's absurd. All right, there's more NFL news to get to from over the weekend because the Cowboys, they appear to be going for it right now as much as they can go for it. But they made a trade for a wide receiver over the weekend and a left tackle deal set and represented solely by the player turns out to be the all-time deal for a left tackle. All of that coming up next. More NFL. Ben Standing at 8 with the latest on ownership and more. And then we'll get back to the tournament. We have not talked about a lot of the other games other than a few of them here on the show this morning. But how about the job Jim Larrañaga is doing at Miami right now? Dude can flat out coach. Kevin Ciancio, the Team 980, the Team980.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So NFL free agency continues. Obviously, last week, day one of tampering was a rather active day, and it started a stretch of several active days. The Cowboys traded for Brandon Cooks over the weekend in exchange for a fifth rounder and a sixth rounder. So just in the last, Denton, 3 or 4 days, Stephon Gilmore and Brandon Cooks have been traded for. By the way, Brandon Cooks has been traded, it seems like, as much as any player in recent memory. He was traded by the Saints to, I think, the Patriots to the Rams to the Texans, and the Texans to the Cowboys. He is still only 29 years old. He'll turn 30 after the season begins. But, you know, in Brandon Cooks, they're getting a guy that 2 years ago in Houston caught 90 balls, you know, and for over 1,000 yards. The dude can still play. And they needed, you know, another receiver. You know, I read something the other day that Jerry now admits that letting Amari Cooper go was a big mistake. Did you read that? And I forget where I read that. He must have said it on his radio show that he believes letting Amari Cooper.
I didn't know Jerry Jones admitted defeat.
Yeah. Apparently he did. So, you know, you've now got Lamb and Cooks to go with Gallup. And the dude that was the punt returner from TCU, who also played some receiver last year, Kevontae Turpin. They are, you know, Zeke's gone. They franchised Pollard. You know what's going to be interesting now is, does Dallas draft Bijan Robinson if he's there, or do they make a move up in the draft to select a running back? They're not going to do that, right?
That would be bold. I mean, Bijan Robinson in Dallas' offense would be crazy, but that'd be bold after doing the Pollard deal.
They franchise Pollard, but Pollard, as good as he is, and he was better than Zeke, you know, over the last few years, he's not a 25 carry a game back. You know, you still need another back. I don't think they have one. I'm looking at our lads right now, and their other back right now is that guy Malik Davis, who they had last year. But, you know, I don't think they need to select. First of all, I don't know that Bijan Robinson's going to be there when they pick at 26. And if they lose Dalton Schultz, who's their tight end? They don't have a tight end if they lose Dalton Schultz. Cowboys, though, have gotten busy here in free agency. It started with the restructuring of some of their big contracts, including Dak Prescott's, to lower the cap number. And they've now, you know, pulled off two trades for a receiver and a corner. And I think that, you know, watching Dallas last year, they needed another receiver. They were injured early at the position. But a Lamb-Cooks combination is a pretty decent combination. Brandon Cooks has been on a couple of bad football teams, you know, here recently in Houston. Still, you know, caught 81, 90, and then last year in 13 games caught 57 balls on what was, you know, the worst team, a terrible football team in the Houston Texans. But you've got a guy that now is your number two, and not a bad number two, to CD Lamb. Other moves made over the weekend in the NFL. CJ Gardner-Johnson is gone from Philadelphia. You know, Philadelphia, you know, committed to Bradbury, committed to Darius Slay, and they lose CJ Gardner CJ Gardner-Johnson, who really played well for them. You know, he was acquired by Philadelphia from the Saints, remember, before the season started, for like a seventh round and a fifth round pick, something like that. There was an exchange of picks. Played very well. He reached a deal, 1 year deal, with the Lions at $8 million. And what the Lions have done now, the Lions really are starting to look like, you know, a potential NFC North favorite going into the season, especially assuming Aaron Rodgers moves on. Minnesota, with their salary cap issues, have let a bunch of players go. You know, Adam Thielen just signed with the Panthers over the weekend. The Panthers obviously adding a lot of players. The Bears adding a lot of players with all the money they had to spend. But, you know, I think when we get to, you know, a post-draft and we start getting the division by division predictions, Denton, I think it's possible Detroit's going to be picked to win the NFC North by a lot of people. You know, if Rodgers is gone, the pick in the North will probably be Detroit or Minnesota. Chicago's not going to get picked to win the division. Chicago's going to be picked to be a very improved football team. But that division, I would bet you right now that more people end up picking Detroit than pick any other team in the NFC North.
I would fade that, too.
Why?
I don't know. Doesn't it feel like there's always one team that has a really good season 1 year, and then everybody anticipates they're going to make a huge jump the next year, and for whatever reason it doesn't work? Like, do you really trust Jared Goff in particular to have two good seasons in a row? I don't know if I'm there.
Yeah, I think I do. I think there was something about watching him last year, indoors especially, with some of their playmakers, that team could move the football. They move the football on almost everybody. And I was impressed week in and week out with what they were offensively as a football team. And, you know, it's not like – it's true. They're coming off a season which was a bit of a surprise. They were 9-8, and they just barely missed the postseason. If Seattle doesn't win that final game, Detroit ends up being the opponent for the 49ers in the first round of the playoffs. And, by the way, I think that would have been a better game with the way they were playing there at the end of the season when they knocked the Packers out in a game that was meaningless for them, right? That game was completely meaningless for them in that Sunday night finale, and they knocked the Packers out. But they were tough to stop at times offensively. Now, you lose Williams, but you add Montgomery to go with Swift. You've got, by the way, let's not forget, Jameson Williams will be, you know, a year off of unhealthy and not playing until later in the season to now having a full offseason to be teamed up with Amon-Ra St. Brown, who I think has emerged as a top 10-ish kind of receiver. And that offensive line with Sewell and Decker, that is a really good offensive line. It's the NFL. I mean, and it is Jared Goff. I will give you that. But I thought he played pretty well. Where did he finish? Did he make the Pro Bowl?
I think he did. I don't know who made the Pro Bowl this year. It was
I don't really care. But I think he had the kind of year where, you know, Goff threw for 4,438 yards and was 29-7 touchdowns over interceptions. You know, his QBR was pretty decent too. 61.1 was fifth in the league. I'm just telling you, you might be right to fade them, and we'll have a lot of time to think about this. What I'm saying, though, is that I think that they are going to be the pick in the NFC North by a lot of the preseason prognosticators.
Yeah, that I agree with.
I mean, Minnesota's so bad on defense, but still offensively, Minnesota's really good. And they shouldn't be any worse this coming season. They just have to upgrade the interior of their offensive line. That's the key. But I don't know who their running backs are going to be. They re-signed Madison, but Dalvin Cook's still hanging out there. Maybe the Cowboys will pull off a trade for Dalvin Cook. So those were the big moves from over the weekend. The Cowboys trading for Cooks. And so the Lions. What was the other big move? Why am I blanking on the other big move? Thielen to Minnesota. It's C.J. Gardner-Johnson, no longer in Philadelphia. Philadelphia's lost some pieces, kept a couple of pieces too that they weren't sure that they would keep. The biggest deal from over the weekend was Laremy Tunsil becoming the highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL after agreeing to a 3-year, $75 million extension. With $60 million in total guarantees, $50 million fully guaranteed, $60 million in total guarantees. Tunsil told ESPN back in December he wanted to reset the market for offensive linemen. He now becomes the highest paid offensive lineman, highest paid tackle in the game. Remember Laremy Tunsil's, you know, pot smoking, a mask over the face draft night deal. Laremy Tunsil also was traded for, remember, Houston gave up a boatload to get Tunsil from Miami in a trade that people crushed Bill O'Brien for, and they probably did overpay. And then, of course, the 49ers were able to basically steal the best left tackle in the game, Trent Williams, for like, you know, a tiny fraction of what Houston paid for Tunsil. But Trent Williams, you know, is now the second highest paid player in the league. Now, and the other part of this thing is Tunsil represents himself in negotiations, and he just pulled off a pretty damn good deal. Look, if Lamar Jackson had accepted the deal that was reported by Adam Schefter to be $175 million of guaranteed money for injury, That would have been one hell of a deal to pull off by a guy representing himself. Meantime, there is really nothing new on Aaron Rodgers. You know, the Packers want a first-rounder, and the Jets don't think he's worth a first-round pick at 39 years old. I still think right now the Jets have no quarterback. The Packers have their guy. You know, obviously the incentive for the Packers would be to try to get the picks for the upcoming draft, whatever picks they end up getting from the Jets. They want 13 overall, the Jets' first-round pick in the 2024 draft. If they were to take a first-rounder after the draft, it would probably be a later first-round pick next year. I don't think the Jets are going to have the 13th pick in the draft next year. I don't. Some of you think Aaron Rodgers is such a mess that that it'll fall apart in New York. I don't. I think if he ends up in New York, which he probably will, I think the Jets will be a really good football team. And if the Packers were then to extract a 2024 first rounder, it would be much later in the first round than at 13, in my opinion. But that's the stalemate right now, according to everybody following this story. The stalemate is, the Packers don't want to part with a guy that won two out of the last three MVPs for a couple of day two and day three picks. They want a first round pick, and the Jets are saying he's 39 years old, and we're not going to give you number 13 overall for a guy that we might only have for 2 to 3 years. I think they'll end up giving up the first round pick to get this deal done. We shall see. No deal for Lamar Jackson. There've been a lot of rumors, but let's face it. You know, right now we don't have any evidence that teams have stepped forward to say, we'll negotiate a deal with Lamar Jackson and give you Baltimore a chance to match it, and then if you don't, give you two first-round draft choices. This is not turning out perhaps the way Lamar Jackson and others believed it should turn out. And the reason, you know, we've gone through this many times, is he's asking for a Deshaun Watson-style deal. He got a great offer from Baltimore. I think it was a pretty damn good offer. He didn't want that deal, and now he is finding out in real-world time what his market is. You know, I saw some reports over the weekend about the Colts potentially being involved. But right now, whether, you know, you believe it's league collusion or whether you believe what I believe, which is it is twofold. It is, number one, the financial implications of a Deshaun Watson-style deal, which nobody wanted Cleveland to do and nobody would have done otherwise. Look, Atlanta basically, remember, ultimately lost out but backed out once it became clear what the number was. But the other part of this with Lamar Jackson is clearly his availability being a concern. Last 2 years, missing key playoff stretch football games for a team that made the postseason this year with Tyler Huntley, a quarterback, and missed the postseason in 2021 with him not being available at all. So, look, bottom line is, if he wants to play football next year, he can play football on the non-exclusive $32.5 million franchise tag. That is not what the Ravens offered originally. I don't know if they can go back and look at, you know, the Jackson deal that he turned down, if Baltimore is even interested in offering that as much anymore. By the way, I was reading something about the Deshaun Watson deal over the weekend. Do you know that this particular year, the Browns potentially will have $185 million of escrow requirement on the Deshaun Watson deal? The $235 million fully guaranteed, where you've got to put a lot of that money into escrow eventually, Not necessarily the year you do it, as we learned last week, but the year after. They may have, and the reviews were done January 31st. This is an estimation of what came out of that review. A $185 million escrow requirement for what's guaranteed on his deal. Wow. All right. Ben Standig will join us next. Amid all of those tweets and social media rumors about the deal being done on Saturday or about to get done, Ben Standig, I think, ultimately had the one credible story from over the weekend, and he will share that with us when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.